closer to each other today. I wonder whether the children will be going to Jam Club shortly, so that'll even make a little bit more vacation. Would you people on the edges be willing to come across? Just to the, even to the edge of that aisle, that'd be fine. Just a little bit closer. Hey, what do you reckon? Excellent. Well, got some rebels up the back corner there. That's okay. Did you know that every great movement of the church through history has started with a rebel or a heretic? So we need a few of those who won't conform. So you stay there, you guys. Up the back. Martin Luther was cast as a heretic. And the reformation of the Christian church transformed the world. And we're the inheritors of that. And so all throughout history, Jesus was considered a heretic. They wanted to get rid of him. And he transformed the world. And he's our Lord and our Saviour. So last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. Who was here last Sunday? Put your hands up. Right, 80%. Well, that's a good turn up. Is it a little bit different, the ambience today, than last Sunday? Yes. Not really, Tony? Okay. Well, I think there is a little bit of a different ambience today. It's raining today, so that's dampened things, pardon the pun a little. Last Sunday we had a tub here in the middle, and that tub was a rubbish bin from Bunnings, and it was used symbolically. I think it's beautiful that it was a rubbish bin. It was used symbolically to baptise a little baby who was 6 months old and a young boy who was 13 years of age. And we were also going to acknowledge the membership of an adult in our congregation, and time got the better of us. So today we're going to acknowledge the membership of Nikki Ordinsky today, which is a follow-on, I think, from last Sunday's Pentecost Sunday service. And last Sunday there seemed to be a little bit more chaos. Would that be right?
Yes.
Yeah. So for those of you who weren't here last week, there was quite a lot of visitors who rarely go to church. And therein lay a little bit of tension, because some of you come to church expecting it to be nice and quiet like it is right now, where you can sit and listen. And others of you come to church to participate in the great acts of God, regardless of how it unfolds. And my goodness, didn't it unfold last Sunday? So here we were singing a song of praise, and then two little boys were down here, and one hits the other over the head with some maracas. And then they start running around the candle up here, and they're doing a maypole dance. And yet, I wondered whether on the day of Pentecost, when those 120 believers gathered together in that place, and 3,000 people were baptised that day after Peter preached, I can't imagine it was as quiet as it was here. I imagine there was comings and goings, and as the crowd gathered, as 3,000, 5,000 people gathered, there was a sense of, what's going on over there? What's going on? What did he say? Did you hear it? They didn't have microphones and things, and there would have been kids who were hungry, and Peter went on preaching, and there would have been some noise and disturbances. And so last Sunday was an opportunity for us to experience a broader understanding of what we have on our normal worship. And I would hope that all of those visitors who'd never been to church before went away with a sense of acceptance and welcome in this congregation. And I'd like to hope that we can perpetuate that, because as the body of Christ, we're not complete. And we're part of a uniting church. We're not the united church. We're wanting to continue to grow. So last Sunday, being Pentecost Sunday, was the day that we remembered the Holy Spirit being poured out on the church. So today, the Christian church begins a new season. It's called Ordinary Time. And today we begin with a terminology called Trinity Sunday. If you look in your Bible, you'll not find the word Trinity anywhere. It's a understanding that the Christian church has developed over time as we've sought to understand who God is through the Scriptures, who God is through our experience. And so today I'm going to have three passages of Scripture as we have available to us every Sunday, but we don't always read the three passages of Scripture because I feel that it's too much for you to absorb. But today I want you to hear the Word of God from the Old and the New Testament and the Epistles, and I want it to be confusing, I want it to be big, I want it to be not able to be understood. I want it to be incomprehensible. I want it to be magnificent. I want it to be multifaceted. I want you to hear all the different characteristics and traits that God has through the Scriptures and through our experience. So let's start by lighting a candle to remind us of the presence of Christ. And I'll ask Professor, could you please light this candle for us?
I can't light the candle with a candle. I have to use a match.
You use a match then to light the candle. There you go. He's just got to hold it there. Yeah. Rightio.
Thank you, sir.
So here's a candle. Now, our call to worship is on the screen, and I'd invite you, please, to join with me in the yellow words. Friends, we gather here today because we have some small sense of God's love for us. We gather because God has gifted us with questions and curiosity. That's good, isn't it? We gather because God has called us to this place seeking our service.
May we be with
us
and joy.
They're good words too. We gather because God has claimed us as children. We gather because we trust that God meets us in this place. I'm going to read from Isaiah, the Old Testament. And Isaiah is in his temple. Probably a little bit different to this one. Certainly not carpets and chairs like we've got. And certainly candles, though. They had candles. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. We're in the temple. Can you see the lofty throne? The robe of God's him. Hovering around him were mighty seraphim, each with six wings. Now, if you've watched a few Harry Potter movies or something, you'll see creatures akin to seraphim. So seraphim had six wings. So listen to the description. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two wings, they covered their feet. And with the remaining two, they flew. So, in the presence of Almighty God, the seraphim had to cover their eyes. In the presence of Almighty God, they covered their faces because the glory of God was so great. And in the presence of God, they used their wings to fly. A couple of weeks ago, a member of our congregation said his mother taught him about roots and wings. Roots to grow down and give him strength and character and nourishment, and wings to be released to fly. So here we have the seraphim. And they're flying. In a great chorus they sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." The glorious singing shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire sanctuary was filled with smoke. Oh, I would have loved to have had a smoke machine today, but the people I know who's got the smoke machine are away. So I didn't get the smoke machine. Then I said, "My destruction is sealed." So this is Isaiah. "My destruction is sealed, for I'm a sinful man and a member of a sinful race." So Isaiah recognizes who he is in the presence of God. Now, when we come to worship every Sunday, I model our worship services on this very passage of Scripture. First, we try to introduce ourselves as the body of Christ to the presence of God. through our call to worship, through our prayer. And then we recognize our sinfulness, and shortly we're going to enter into a prayer of confession, because when we're in the presence of God, we can do nothing but acknowledge our brokenness and our sinfulness. And so here Isaiah is saying, I'm a sinful man and a member of a sinful race. So we're all in it together, folks. And yet I've seen the King, the Lord Almighty. So God doesn't hide himself from us in our sin. He's there waiting for us to respond. Then one of the seraphim flew over to the altar and he picked up a burning coal with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips and with it said, see, the coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. There's the opportunity for cleansing. So as we come to worship today, that's what's on our heart. The encounter with God, the cleansing of our souls. And Canaan's baptism and Charlie's baptism and our own reminder last Sunday was that very thing. The washing away and the cleansing of our sins through the water and the Spirit. The pouring out of the Spirit on Pentecost. And then I heard the Lord saying, whom should I send as a messenger to my people? Who will go for us? And the Lord and I said, Lord, I'll go, send me. So this morning as we go through our worship service, we're going to carry through that journey. And at the end of our service, after we've shared communion together, the reunion of our bodies, our broken bodies, will be sent forth. Here I am, send me. And out we go into the world again. Invigorated, renewed, restored and forgiven. Part of the body of Christ. Let us pray and then let us stand to sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So let us pray together, please. Almighty God, you come to us as Father, Son and Holy Spirit, having given us the gift of your presence in our lives and in our hearts. Now give us the grace to love you with our minds as fully as we ought. Cast aside in us our inadequacies, our puniness and our simplistic views of your majesty and power. Stir up in us today a fresh awareness of the richness of your being, the worldwide diversity of your work and the wide wonder of your love, that we might more perfectly love you in order to more faithfully serve you all our days. Amen. Let us stand and sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who was and is and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy word
earth shall praise thy name, in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Let us continue to worship as we join in another facet of God being the Ancient of Days, who was, who is, and is to come. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So let us worship God.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bound for the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Ah, please be seated. Thank you. Ancient of Days. Now, that's another word for God, isn't it? So here on Trinity Sunday, the word Trinity, T-R-I, is three. So we understand God in a multifaceted way as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's many other words in the Scriptures and through our own journey that we've been able to describe God. And so the Ancient of Days is one of those terms. Another one, we describe God as Creator. We describe God as Redeemer. Jesus is the Redeemer. And we describe God as Sustainer through the power of His Holy Spirit. And so we connect to God in so many different ways. And of course, none of us can know the full magnitude and the dimensions of God. And so it's been helpful for us to acknowledge God in this Trinitarian way, in this three-form way, in this vast understanding of God. And now that science is exploring the universe even greater than the astrologers who went to see Jesus in Bethlehem, they're still discovering there's this incredible Creator that's put this together and makes it run so finely tuned. And so here we are, the first Sunday in winter. And most of you got jumpers on. Last Sunday you didn't. There's something happening. There's a season. There's a change. And so too our lives need to recognize and acknowledge change. So we're going to come to our prayer of confession now. And I recognize that there's some children here who can't read very easily. And there's other people who read really fast. Today there's a lot of words on the screen. I've done that deliberately because sometimes visual people need to see it. And the words that have been chosen for today's service are very important. And I want you to absorb them a little more than just hearing them through one ear and out the other. I want God, in God's magnificence, to strike some chords in different people in different ways. So here's our prayer of confession on the screen. And I'm just going to leave the first slide, or Anitha's going to leave the first slide on there for a while so that you can read it silently to yourselves. And if there's some children, Hannah, you might read it to your sister and brother. Just the first one. And then together we'll read it as a congregation. So there's three slides in our prayer of confession. Some big words there, Hannah, I know. Unequipped means not feeling like you can do it to be God's servants. So let's go to the next slide and just in silence read it to yourselves and allow God to speak to you. God will touch your heart where you need to bring that to bear. And the next slide. Let's read this last slide together as a congregation. Forgive us, we pray, for everything we do that creates a barrier between us and you. Help us to be reborn this day as your loving children and devoted servants. Amen. Well, let's be encouraged, friends. Where does God come to us with words of forgiveness and grace? Oh, the next slide, yes. Here in this worship space, when we are alone and troubled with questions, when we experience God's majesty in mountains, oceans, earth and sky. Whenever we open our hearts with honest desire for forgiveness, what does God promise? Mercy that reigns from everlasting to everlasting, freedom from the past, strength for the present and hope for the future. Hear and believe the good news. By the grace of God, we are indeed a forgiven people. Amen. Well, children, I know there were some big words there, but I hope your Jam Club teachers will be able to help you understand that in this journey of life, we grow and we change. We understand things differently. And that was a prayer of confession where we say sorry to God and sorry to each other in different ways. So children, as you go to Jam Club this morning, may God bless you. And we'll see you back here to share communion in a few minutes, well, in 35 minutes' time. God bless you all. There's a lot of words in worship, isn't there? Sometimes you might want to just come and sit. Well, the church is open most days of the week. You're welcome to do that any time. And come in, light the Christ candle, find a spot, lay down on the floor, and just let God speak to you. We're going to welcome a new member into our congregation. And a couple of months ago, I said that on Pentecost Sunday, we'd like to welcome people who might like to take that step of membership. And later on in the year, we'll attend to that opportunity again. And where's Trevor? Thanks, Trev.
Thanks, Brett. Good morning. I present to you all Nikki Ordinsky, who is to be received as a member of this congregation. The Uniting Church in Australia affirms that every member of the church is engaged to confess the faith of Christ crucified and to be his faithful servant. In each congregation, the members are to meet regularly to hear God's word, to celebrate the sacraments, to build each other up in love, to share in the wider responsibilities of the church and to serve the world.
So as an affirmation of Nikki's Christian journey, we're going to ask her a couple of questions, and everyone who becomes a member of the Uniting Church in Australia is asked to respond in this way. Nikki, do you reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you make a commitment to this congregation, promising to share in the life and the worship of the church and accepting the way in which the Uniting Church in Australia orders its own life?
I do.
Nikki, always remember that you are baptised and be thankful. I'd like to ask some of the elders in the congregation or the church council members to come forward and to lay hands on Nikki as we pray. And if there's any other members of the congregation who would like to be part of the gathering around Nikki, please come forward and lay hands on her. Cherie, do you want to come forward? And Eliana? Yeah. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, gracious God, we thank you that Nikki's journey has brought her to this place. We pray that you would strengthen your servant and set her heart on fire with love for you. Increase in her your gifts of grace. Increase in her the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Increase in her the spirit of knowledge and wonder in your presence. Increase in her the spirit of joy and delight in your service. Lord God, we thank you that Nikki has found a place where she can exercise her gifts, where we are being blessed to be a blessing. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work in every part of Nikki's life, the deep places, the external places. Thank you for the healing that you're bringing into her life each and every day. Thank you for the understanding of your greatness and multifaceted nature. And thank you that this congregation has extended an element of love to Nikki that she needs to experience at this time. Lord God, we pray this in the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Nikki, I just wanted, as we've talked together, in the journey of membership, I generally like to introduce the person to the broader understanding of what it means to be a Christian. And Nikki said, oh, I know all that. And she read my little 16-page document and said, oh, yeah, I agree with all of that. And that's just what it means to be a Christian and who God is and who the Holy Spirit is and who Jesus is. And then the next part of the conversation is what the Uniting Church is all about. And so I gave her the opportunity to read a little bit about the Uniting Church, and we talked a bit about that. And then the next step, it's like the stones being thrown into the water, but coming back in. And then the next conversation was about Ashmore Uniting Church. And this morning, our vision and our values are on the second and third slide. If you just put the second slide up, Anitha, the vision of this congregation. This one. The vision of this congregation is to be a loving church focused on the gospel of Christ, reaching out, meeting needs, equipping people for service. And our little catch cry that we use is reaching out and changing lives. And in the process of that reaching out, not only are other people's lives changed, but our lives are changed. So it's a two-way street. And so in response to that conversation, Nikki says, yep, I want to be part of this community of faith. This is where God's led me. So we're just going to give Nikki a chance to tell some of her story. Thanks, Nick.
Oh, no. I've got something to show you.
Thank you.
See this? Brad, say what the date is.
This is the 20th of February 2011, and it was the Sermon on the Mount series.
See where that's from? It's from here. And that's a year and a half ago. And that's when I did my DTS with YWAM. And I was sitting here this morning going, where's a year of my life gone? And so I'm trying to remember the beginning. Ralph said it's always good to have an end. And so the beginning for me, I was saved when I was 14. And I came to Queensland because I had a tragedy in my life. And YWAM's been looking after me for the last 3 years this December. And to me, it only feels like 2 years. And so when I came to this church for the first time, you guys all really loved me. And my life's been just running from love the whole time. And every time I go somewhere and people love me, I'll run. And then I have this photo here. It's amazing that Cherie's here, actually. That's why I got a bit nervous, because this is my family from Set Free. And that's where I've been going the whole time I've been here. And these people really love me. And and I understand that love now, because only in the last 2 weeks, when I went to hospital, when you guys were all praying for me, God really spoke to me and said to me, Nikki, you've got to stop running from love. And I realised in the last 3 months, when I've been coming here like really full time and singing, that's really sweet, that I've got some friends here that have been there for me the whole time, and I needed some assistance, and I was calling people and they were there for me and just listened to me, and I was like, wow, this is really cool, God. And I was like, Nikki, do you understand that people really care about you? And I was like, okay. And it really opened me up to how much God really cared about me. And so much so that when I had lunch with Pastor Brad the other day, I was saying that everything in my heart that was so angry and upset about the tragedy that happened to me, he ridded me of this hurt and upset. And things changed at work. I went to Darcy and I said, Darcy, I'm not angry anymore. I've let go of all this pain. And God started showing me things from my past. I don't want to talk about the past. I want to talk about my future. And last night, after we had this table of eight over at Trevor's place, I rang my mum. And I said, Mum, I'm so sorry about all this stuff that happened to me in my past. And we cried on the phone together last night. And all I can say is that this person who had grey clouds over her head and was so negative talking, there's so much life inside of me now. And this is why I'm becoming a member today, because even though I know Set Free likes me and everything, this is where I want to be. This is home, and this is where you guys love me, and I've accepted that love, and I'm so thankful to be here. Thank you.
Got a few words to say.
Uh-huh.
If you'd so in response to God's grace, which is always God reaching to us, even though we think we've been reaching out to God, he's already been reaching out to us. Nikki, you've been baptized into the faith of Christ, and you are called to worship, to witness and service of God in the power, not of your power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. So will you continue in the community of faith with the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, the study of Scripture and prayers?
With God's help, I will.
Good. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
With God's help, I will.
Will you seek Christ in all people and love your neighbour as yourself?
With God's help, I will.
That's a challenging one, seek Christ in all people. There's some people that I find hard to. And that's why we say with God's help we will, because we can't do it in our own strength. Nikki, will you strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being?
Yeah, with God's help I will.
That's a biggie too. May the grace of God, or the God of grace, who's given us new birth by water and the Spirit, keep us steadfast in the faith of Christ and bring us to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, congregation, Nikki can't do this on her own, and she's shown you a photograph of the church, Set Free Church, that have been caring for her for the last 2 years, 18 months. And the pastor of the Set Free Church has communicated with Nikki and said, Nikki, I set you free to go where God is leading you. And Mel is the pastor's name. He and I had lunch on Friday together I didn't get to talk to him on that occasion, but we meet every month. And so there's a collegiate relationship between the churches here on the Gold Coast. And together, we've been caring for Nikki as God's servants. And so Set Free have set her free, and now the Church of the Good Shepherd is moving into that phase and season of shepherding Nikki, so that she can be then a servant and a shepherd to others. So she can't do it on her own. So I ask you, congregation, friends in Christ, will you promise to maintain a life of worship and teaching, of witness and service, so that Nikki may grow into maturity in Christ? Would you respond, please? With God's help, we will live out our baptism as a loving community in Christ, nurturing one another in faith, upholding one another in prayer, and encouraging one another in service until Christ comes again. Yes. There's a song that Nikki wants us to hear, and it's by Jesus Culture. You tell us why you've chosen this song.
Because it just explains God's love. And Daniel, who's gone home, he was our wonderful worshipper. When I first came here, he taught me this song, and so I just want you to hear the words. I might sing along a little bit. Edward, I hope you like this song.
Because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. When the stars and the waters sing, I'm not alone in these open seas. Your love never fails. Chasm was far too wide, but I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails.
Let's lift it up, cause you stay.
You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid. Because I know that you love me.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you very much. I hope you're able to hear in the words of the song some of the journey that's been part of Nikki's life and the wonderful treasure and resource that God's been to her in these Well, all the time, really, whether Nikki's recognised it or not. So, Nikki, on behalf of the Ashmore Uniting Church, I welcome you as a member, and here's your recognition of membership that's been prepared. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Yeah.
I think we're going to respond with a song called The Potter's Hand. And I hope that we'll incorporate that song into our lives as you've heard Nikki share her testimony and make her commitment to faith. So let us stand together and sing The Potter's Hand.
Beautiful Lord. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Touch me, dear Lord, to live all my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart, I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, fuse me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, lead me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Beautiful Lord, moving through your horizons, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart, I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hands.
The New Testament reading comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17.
I'm reading from King James Version, which wording will be slightly different from your pew Bibles. I'm reading this because the print is bigger than the one in the Pew Bible. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. For the winds blow where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know, and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yeah. Tom, hello. Tom, thank you very much for reading that so slowly and carefully for us. John chapter 3, 1 to 17. That was the story of Nicodemus, who was a religious leader coming to Jesus and encountering a whole new framework of thinking. And so on this Trinity Sunday, the opportunity for us to encounter a different framework of thinking is being offered to us. The third passage of Scripture today, so we've had Isaiah, where Isaiah was in the temple, and it's set historically in the year that King Uzziah died. So we know historically where it was. Tom's reading is set in 33 AD, where Jesus is in his 3 years of ministry. And now our third passage of Scripture today comes from Romans chapter 8, and it's on page 197 in most of the Pew Bibles. That's the Good News Pew Bibles, page 197. And it's Romans chapter 8. So in the Old Testament, we've had Isaiah encountering God in the temple. In the gospel reading, we've had Nicodemus encountering Jesus in the flesh. God in the flesh. And that beautiful verse that millions and millions of Christians have quoted throughout history, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And the next verse is as equally important. "For God did not send his Son to judge the world, but to redeem it." So often we sit on that term of judgment and we forget that the very next verse is one of grace. "For God did not send his Son to judge it, but to redeem it." We've got to reassess the way we think and live out our faith, the way that God has placed it in our hearts. So the church has sat in judgment for far too long, and too many people's hearts have been hardened and turned against God, and Satan's laughing all the way. We need to examine and understand this Trinitarian God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even in that Isaiah reading, you heard me read to you that Isaiah recognized, "I am a man of unclean lips." And then the seraphim came and got the hot coal and touched his lips and cleansed him. There was the opportunity being given right there and then. It wasn't, "Get away from me, Isaiah, you dirty, rotten, low-down scab." It was, "No more words. I'm going to cleanse your lips. I'm going to cleanse your lips. I'm going to welcome you, make you part of my family." So hopefully you've found Romans 8, verse 12 to 17. "So then, my brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to live as our human nature wants us to. For if you live according to your human nature, you're all going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death your sinful actions, you will live." So here we are now, Paul's introducing us to the Spirit. Isaiah had the hem of God's robes in the temple. Jesus was face to face with Nicodemus. And now Paul, who never got to see Jesus in the flesh, encounters the power of the Spirit, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "Those of you," verse 14, "those of you who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters, children. For the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid." Did you hear that? "For the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children, and by the Spirit's power we cry out to God, 'Abba, Father, my Father.'" That is the most intimate word that you could say to God. "My Father." And that's how Jesus started off the Lord's Prayer. Our Abba, our Father in heaven. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits. Hear that, sisters and brothers. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people, and we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. "For if we share Christ's suffering, we will also share his glory." Other Bibles, passages of that exact same verse, talks about us being adopted into, being incorporated into. When I was on my retreat 2 weeks ago up at Toowoomba, one of my minister colleague friends is talking about in his church this year. I'm just trying to remember what his theme is. I can't remember the exact theme, the little catch cry. It's doing something for another person or something like that. And so he and his wife and their three daughters have found themselves confronted with doing something for someone else. They've actually got a young woman, a 17-year-old girl who's in grade 12 at high school, living with them right now in their house. And she turned up just after Christmas, and she's been there for the last 5 months. This young girl is from another country, from an Asian country. And she was brought out here when she was 8 years of age by her mother. Her mother and father had separated in their country of origin. She'd come out here as an 8-year-old with her mother. And she was then placed with her stepfather, an Australian man, here in Queensland. And from 8 years of age through to 17 years of age, that young girl has been prostituted by her own mother, by her grandmother and her stepfather, for half of her life. She had the courage earlier this year to speak, or late last year, to her chaplain at her school. We had chaplaincy week 2 weeks ago. And the mandatory reporting caused that chaplain to have to report. So this young girl now is going through an incredible change of life. The fear that has been part of her life and the forced labour, the slavery that she's had to endure, has now been given a light of hope, an opportunity. And so my friend and his wife would like to adopt her into their family, if it was at all possible. They love her so much. And her academic marks at school, she's getting A's now at school where she never got them before. The teachers had never twigged that all these doctors' appointments were not doctors' appointments at all. The school had missed the signs. Adopted into God's family, we too can experience that adoption through the power of God's Spirit. So these passages of Scripture, I'd love to unpack them, but each one of them have so much in them, and we've just had a tiny little touchstone on them. So we're not going to focus on them specifically today. And I guess just before I develop my 3 points, a father and son went fishing one day. After a couple of hours out in the boat, the boy suddenly became curious about the world about him, and he asked his father. So you can imagine Jesus having a chat to God, growing up, maybe. The boy asked the father, "How does this boat float?" The father thought for a moment and then replied, "Don't rightly know, son." The boy returned to his contemplation and then back to his father. "How do fish breathe underwater?" said the son. "Don't rightly know, son," said the father. A little while later, the boy said, "Dad, why is the sky blue?" Again, the father replied, "Don't rightly know, son." Worried that the boy was annoying his father, he said, "Dad, you don't mind me asking all these questions, do you?" "Oh, of course not, son," said the father. "If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything." If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything. Nicodemus came to Jesus with a question about the Father. "How do I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus responded, "You must be born of water and of the Spirit. How can I be born in my mother's womb again?" What a strange question, but it's a logical one if you're confronted with that request. So our understanding of God needs to be bigger and broader than any of us can theologize. So on this Trinity Sunday, why on earth, here's a question, did we come up with such a complex and difficult to talk about doctrine of God as the Trinity? Well, it's not enough for us just to read one passage of Scripture. We've read from the Old Testament, from Paul's epistle, and from the Gospel. We've read of God opening the heavens and coming to and calling young Isaiah in the temple. And then we've heard Paul speaking about the ever-present power of the Holy Spirit and the new life, the adoption that it brings. And then Jesus pays a visit to Nicodemus, engaging him in a mysterious conversation about spirit and birth. And that's why last Sunday, with the baptisms and Canaan's baptism as a young boy being baptized and the acknowledgement of Nicky growing in the Spirit, very important that we bring those things together. Why can't matters between us and God be simpler? Have you ever asked that question? Why does it have to be so complicated? Well, because in Jesus Christ, we've found that God's rich, relentless love for us is not simple. God's rich, relentless love for us is not simple. Christians believe that in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have seen as much of God as we could ever hope to see. And so in 1 John it says, "No one has ever seen God. God is unfathomable, beyond reach of our thinking and perceiving. He is incomprehensible." And until Jesus Christ, in his full and perfect, sufficient revelation, came to earth, we could not understand. So everything we believe about God flows from what we've seen of God in Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important to read the Word, to study the Word. Every member of the Uniting Church is encouraged to study God's Word. This congregation should be filled with home groups where we're together weekly, getting together and poring over God's Word and letting it nourish us and fill us and transform us so that we become like Christ. Christ in us and us in Christ. Responding as Isaiah said, "Whom will I send? Send me." So to try and give us a very quick snapshot, the first thing is, we're still up there, that's okay. There's just an image that I got off the internet of the Trinity. Redeemer, Sustainer, Creator, Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the next slide. Oh, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So those are just some understandings that we have, and shortly we'll be sharing the Apostles' Creed to try and tap into the history of our understanding. So our first point is God is the creative, caring Father, but not simply at the beginning of creation. I'm teaching grade sevens at the moment, the big questions about life. And we've started off at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. And it's been quite a slog for me to try and, in my head, have an understanding of who God is in some huge way. And then to try and present it to a bunch of 12 and 13-year-old children who've never really had anything of a Christian background or teaching. And so we've started here. God is the creative, caring Father. But I haven't yet said to the grade sevens, but I want to say to you, not simply at the beginning of creation. God is not only the maker of the world, but he's the sustainer of the world. The same darkness to light, nothing into something of Genesis chapter 1 continues every day of our lives. God keeps creating, keeps bringing something out of nothing. That's why I made the comment about we're in winter now. There's this ongoing sustaining that takes place, making a way when we thought that there was no other way. God keeps caring, keeps reaching out to us in active love, constantly watches over us in vigorous providential care. The prevenient grace of God continues to pursue us and to woo us and to draw us into his family. The second point. So that's God, the Creator, the Father, the Redeemer. Now we have the redeeming act of Jesus, the loving, seeking Son. Jesus ventures forth like some prodigal in Luke 15. And he goes to the far country where we are, searching out to save the lost of humanity. Where we live, God comes to us. So when we think of the incarnation, when Jesus was born in the flesh, that's the prodigal searching out us as prodigals, leaving his father to go off to the far country to draw us to himself. And then when God decisively, revealingly came to us, God came to us as one of us. Jesus historically looked like a Jew. He had a big nose. He probably didn't have blue eyes and blonde hair like many of the images. Jesus looked like the people into whom he was born. Those people who were the descendants of Abraham, who were the descendants of Noah, who were the descendants of Adam and Eve. Jesus, the Jew from Nazareth, was born in the most embarrassing way to a young peasant woman, a single girl, probably 13 or 14 years of age. Betrothed, yes, to be married, but not yet married. What scandal. What horror. But that's God. And that's what he wants to do, to pursue us into all those places. This young girl who was brought out from an Asian country as an 8-year-old has now been pursued by God to the point where an opportunity for new life and healing will come. And we don't know the future of that story, but we know that she is now safe and cradled by people who call themselves Christians. God is among us, And this name, Jesus or Joshua, means God saves. And the Gospels depict Jesus as God's answer to what's wrong between us and God. In Nikki's song a few moments ago, she talked about a chasm being crossed. That chasm is the cross of Christ. In a few moments, we're going to share communion together as we remember him in the broken bread and the poured out wine, the grape juice, sustaining and nourishing us and binding us together. God reaching out to us through communion, through the relationships we have between each other, through the opportunity we have to experience forgiveness and wholeness. And so in John 3:16 we hear about God saving the world. For God so loved the world, not so hated the world, was so angry with the world, but God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's one thing to have a belief in God, but it's quite another thing to have a personal experience of the living, seeking God. And that was my fear this morning, having an emphasis on Trinity Sunday, talking about the theology or the theory or the doctrine. It's one thing to have an understanding, but it's another to have a living, breathing relationship with the living God. And so Canaan's baptism last Sunday, those waters of renewal, were an opportunity for Canaan to know that he belongs. And in the years to come, as that 13-year-old becomes a 30-year-old, becomes a 60-year-old, and all of the stuff that's going to go on in Canaan's life, he will always remember, I am baptized. I belong. God has sought him out. And we as a congregation made a promise, as we did to Nikki, that we will maintain the life and witness of the people of God in this place to nurture. And Trevor wasn't able to be here last Sunday, but we saw his beautiful face on the screen as he sent a YouTube message and said, Canaan, I can't be there today, I'm in Sydney. But I will make a commitment, along with Bradley, to mentor you for 12 months as you go through your puberty years, year, as you become a new person. And so that's a commitment that Trevor and I want to make, because our Priority One program didn't get off the ground this year. But Canaan could have been part of that. So we want to commit to that. We want to be God with skin on to Canaan this year. I guess I'm saying it because I need to make that commitment and do something about it, not just talk about it. So the personal experience of a living, seeking God. It's one thing to believe that God is there. Quite another matter to believe that God is there for you. It's fine to believe that God in Christ reconciles the world to himself. It's another thing to believe that God has stepped in and actually reconciled you. That's why I wanted to labor a little bit on that prayer of confession this morning. And rather than just rattle off a bunch of words, let you and your eyes and your brain and your heart and your spirit latch on to a sentence or a phrase. Because God has done it for you. Our story with God begins in the Bible with two new human beings, fresh and vulnerable, at home and at peace in a beautiful, lush garden. But in just a couple of chapters, chapter 3 of Genesis, things go badly and humanity rebels against God's good intentions. And they disobey God's minimalist demands, which is, you can have whatever you like in this garden, but don't touch the fruit on that tree. And so the first child becomes the first murderer. Cain kills Abel, bashing the head of his own brother. How many of you have been in family environments where you've bashed your brother or your sister or vice versa? It continues on. The sin that's inherent in us continues on. But Christ has made a way where there is no other way. There is opportunities for reconciliation. There is opportunities for forgiveness. There are opportunities for grace. One of our home groups is studying the book What's So Amazing About Grace by Philip Yancey. And it's been a bit of a gut-wrenching, heart-rendering opportunity for some people as they look at the heart of God, which is a heart of forgiveness and grace. If we listen to the news on any given day, you'll hear what fresh outrage that we in our world have perpetuated. The latest proof that we have a serious neighbour problem and an even more serious God problem. So what righteous, holy God would have anything to do with humanity? Humanity, which is meant to be the crown of his creation. You and I are far above all the other parts of creation. The trees just stand there and worship God with their branches. You get to move around. You get to move from England to New Zealand and New Zealand to Australia and land on the Gold Coast. A tree can only do that if it gets chopped down and made into a table and end up in some posh person's house. And rather than glorifying God in creation, glorifying mammon. The same Father who created the world, the God who kept returning to Israel in mercy and graciousness, as we heard in Isaiah's reading this morning, is one with the Son who came to us and sought us out and died for us. And so our final area of connection this morning is that God is the present, dynamic Holy Spirit who is near, who is God near to us. So rather than in the Isaiah reading of God being way up there and just the hem of his garment touching the altar, rather than Jesus who physically died and is physically raised to heaven and is at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead, we now, through Pentecost last Sunday, have been told by Peter that the Comforter, the Counselor, is here for you. God constantly revealing God to us day in and day out. As Nikki said, I will look for Christ in the other. That other may have a different colour skin. That other may have a different occupation. That other may have a different religion. Most Thursday nights, Nikki goes out to the streets of Surfers Paradise and she meets people whom she looks to see Christ in. And they're people that have come here to the Gold Coast for every other reason than to look for God. But God's using Nikki and the YWAMers to seek them out, to say the word in season, to plant the seed, to water, and possibly to harvest. This is this relentless God that pursues and seeks all of us out through the power of his Spirit. God talking to us about himself. There's things that God wants us to know, things that we cannot know except as revelation, as gift of God working through the Holy Spirit. And there are things that God wants us to do that we cannot do except through the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. My friend and his wife being available to take on this young woman, not knowing where the future is going to take them, but through the power of the Spirit making themselves God incarnate, loving and caring, supporting, and giving her the opportunity to go to her formal this year. That's what was the catalyst. She wanted to go to her formal. And she was frightened that it might not ever happen. Isn't that amazing? That's what pushed her to go to talk to the chaplain. The Holy Spirit is not some exotic third kind of God or some strange phenomenon that is somewhat similar to God. The Holy Spirit is more than some impersonal force or psychic energy or indistinct power. The Holy Spirit has a personality because it is the Spirit of the Father and of the Son. So that image that was on the screen earlier on, all those three things overlay each other. They're not separate, they are distinct, but they are equal. One's not less than the other. And so, God in action not only loves, not only redeems, but now present all the time, convinces the world of sin, leads us into the church, and then comforts, sustains, and empowers us along the way of discipleship. So that's why you're here today, to experience the power of God, to share the love of God with one another, to be empowered by God to go into the world and live as disciples of Jesus. So last night there were a bunch of people who got together at different homes and shared a meal together as in the early church. George, how did dinner go at your place last night?
It went very well. Everyone had a good time.
How many people did you have?
Eight altogether.
Yeah. Were they all from this congregation?
One lady's from my grief group.
The rest... One lady from your grief group.
Yep.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes. One lady from the grief group who didn't know that there was a body of believers here in this place that have the potential to care for her more than what George can care for her in his grief group.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, George, for opening your house and being hospitable. You had dinner at your place last night. How did it go?
It went wonderful. We had 11 people there. 11? Oh, three kids. The kids were noisy and we had a great time.
Thank you for including the kids, because this is a church that needs to be whole by including everyone of God's humanity. Even the little kid who bashes someone over the head with a maraca. Oh, boy, oh boy, that was a doozy. Now, you're having dinner at your place today. What's the anticipation for you?
It will be cold because we're sitting outside on the deck. But we've got a lot of food. We've got food coming, and we expect to have 8 to 10 with kids. It'll be a lovely lunch.
Fantastic. So what I've been talking about and sharing, there's another one having lunch today with here, Maria. Yeah. What's happening at your place?
Yeah, there'll be about 13 of us today.
13 today.
It's going to be a beautiful barbecue in the rain, but that's okay.
Fantastic. And you're going to lunch somewhere today? Are you going to someone's place for lunch?
No, I went to George's.
You went to George's last night. Who's going to Trish's house? She's home preparing now. Colleen, what are your expectations?
I think it will be a lovely change for me. I have lunch on my own most days, and now I've got a lovely family group to go and have lunch with.
Wow. Okay, so dinner's for 8. This is the first time we've had it for a number of years. Whilst I've been here for 6 years, we haven't had dinners for 8 in a formal way. And so I hope that Cheryl's been talking about having a, what's it called, a multi... an international meal. We've got so many people from different countries of origin and ethnicities in this congregation. Cheryl thought it might be lovely if we could experience the hospitality of the church together and the meals that other people can make. What do you reckon, Lidiana?
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to have sago, what is it, sweet potato, and kava. You're going to bring some kava? Hey, very good. So, look, body of Christ, this Trinity thing, it's big. It's hard to understand, but trying to break it down a little bit in three hard, simple points, it's pretty tricky. Now, when the church first began, people were pretty illiterate. There was only the smarty pantsers and the religious leaders that were able to read and taught to read. And so most people felt like, you know, they weren't real good. And so the church had to develop ways of including and making people belong. And so they had to learn catechisms and things off by heart that taught them about God and about what it means to be part of God's family. So we're going to share together now in the Apostles' Creed, which is a liturgy that was written in about 300 AD because there was a lot of heresies and things going around and misunderstandings, and so the church needed to consolidate what it really believed. So let's stand together and let us share together in the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God who made you and loves you? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Saviour? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit and the continuing work of our salvation? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you please be seated and let us bring our free will offering for God's work as we sing together the song, "Kneels at the Feet of His Friends, Silently Washes Their Feet." In John's Gospel, we don't have the Passover where Jesus breaks the bread and gives the wine. Only in Matthew, Mark and Luke do we have the Passover meal enacted as we're going to do it today. So singing this song, "Kneels at the Feet of His Friends, Silently Washes Their Feet," is John's way of saying what it means to experience God's encounter with us. Another facet of this amazing God. Stay seated for this hymn, please.
Ne-
kneels at the feet of his friends, silently washes their feet, Master who acts as a slave to them. Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Neighbors are rich folk and poor, neighbors are black folk and white, neighbors are nearby and far away. Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. These are the ones we should serve, these are the ones we should love. All these are neighbors to us and you. Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Loving puts us on our knees, serving as though we are slaves. This is the way we should live with you. Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we bring our offerings to you today, show us how to serve. Show us how to serve our neighbours. As you have served us in Jesus, may we bend our knee and take off the outer towel and wash the feet of those you've called us to serve. Take this money and our lives as a gift in service to you today and into the future until you come again. Amen. Well, as we come to communion today, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, or the Eucharist, or the Great Thanksgiving, or the Lord's Supper, let us do this as a family. The children are coming down to share with us. So I'd invite you, please, as to picture us around the table, as people sat around George's table last night, as people will sit around Ralph's table today. We gather around this table. All are invited to share in this meal. Nobody is expected to be absent. You are all welcome. And today, just for a change, I don't think there's been many times when I've had a structured liturgy for communion. Again, I want you to have some words in front of you to drink in, to nourish your spirit, not just to eat a piece of bread and some grape juice. But the Word of God, Jesus, the living God, wants to feed us today. And so, if Barbara and Joan would like to get the elements. The yellow words on the screen will be your words and I'll read the other words. Try and make this meaningful for yourself rather than just a bunch of words on the screen. Please be nourished by it. So ladies, if you'd like to come forward. Now, obviously, the children are going to join us shortly, so just be aware of that. The teachers probably haven't been given enough notice to wrap up, so they'll just come on in when they're ready. So, what do you bring to Christ's table, congregation?
We bring bread, made by many people's
work. So, here's the bread. Thanks, Barbara. What do you bring to Christ's table? No, there's another one. Oh, sorry. At this table, sorry, yep. I'm trying to do it off the top of my head. It's a bit hard, isn't it? At this table, all are fed and no one is turned away. Thanks be to God. And what do you bring to Christ's table?
Thank you.
At this table, all share the cup of pain and celebration, and no one is denied. Thanks, ladies. These gifts shall be for us the body and the blood of Christ, our witness against hunger, our cry against injustice, and our hope for a world where God is fully known and every child is fed. Thanks be to God. And as Isaiah said, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." You have woven an intimate tapestry and called it life and called it good. Our God, all creation, calls you blessed, and so do we. In love, you have formed a universe diverse yet related. To you, each of us, as each blade of grass and each star, is an irreplaceable treasure, a companion on this journey of love. Our God, all creation, calls you blessed, and so do we. Isn't that incredible? God knows the name of every blade of grass, as he knows the name of every one of us, beyond our understanding and comprehension. Creator God, let your Holy Spirit move in power over us and over our earthly gifts of bread and wine, that they may become the body and the blood of Christ. On the night before Jesus met his death, Jesus came to the table with those he loved. He took bread and blessed you, God, of all creation. He broke the bread among his disciples and he said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." Let's just reflect on that for a moment. And when the supper was ended, he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to you, God, of all creation. And he passed the cup among his disciples and he said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all sinners, that sin may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Let's reflect on that for a moment. The table of bread and wine is now made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and with all who love him. It is a table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. And so, sisters and brothers, we come to this table to renew our communion, the common union with the earth and with our interwovenness with the broken ones of the world. We come to this table to renew our unity with one another and with all those who have gone before us. And so, if Andrew and Ari would like to come forward, please. For those of you who find it difficult to come to the front, stay in your seats and Cheryl and I will come and serve you. For those who may not be familiar, our practice is to come down the middle aisle, and if you're on this side, to come to Ari and tear off a significant piece of bread. I've said this a number of times and I'll say it again. When I grew up in the Methodist Church, they used to use one slice of bread for the whole congregation of 200. And so just a crumb was all we got. And I guess that gave a small sense that the church is stingy and so must God be. So I now have grown in my understanding and I want you to take as much bread as you feel you need to receive God's grace today. And if you need the whole loaf, well, go for it. There's more bread here. And so, for those who aren't familiar, you tear off a piece of bread, dip it in the grape juice, and if you would like to kneel and pray, you can, or if you'd like to go back to your seat, if you'd like to serve your other family members, do that. But just take some time to remember, that's what Jesus said, remember me. And Nikki, as our newest member of this congregation, and one of our other elders, Colleen, are going to share with for the people on this side. And so, sisters and brothers in Christ, come, for all has been prepared. Thank you. Let us pray. Through him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honour is yours, Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we pray today for members of our congregation who are unable to be here. We pray for John and Jean Inger. John, as he convalesces in hospital, and Jean, as she struggles to make each new day fresh and vibrant for her. We thank you for the loving care of this congregation that has found ways and resources of serving these disciples of yours. We pray for Jean and Jan and Norma, Pauline and the boys, and for their ongoing challenges in life. And with this steadfast assurance of hope and prayer for them each Sunday, we pray that your will be done in their lives, on earth as it is in heaven. We bring before you today Mark and Craig, Bill, Kathleen and Josh, David, Irene, Margie and Nick, Marlene and her family. We pray for Grant Wickham as he recovers from surgery this week. And for our focus families, for Kerry, for Yvonne and for Marion, may you meet each of those persons at their point of need this week. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I began with Isaiah, and I'd like to finish with Isaiah today. Isaiah saw the hem of God's robe against the temple. And the Lord said to Isaiah, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. As we've received this bread and this wine today, may you know the assurance of your forgiveness and God's grace." And then the Lord asked, "Whom should I send as a messenger to my people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Lord, I'll go. Send me." Let us stand and sing our final hymn today. "I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. Whom should I send? Send me."
"I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them, they turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people. people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them, my hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them, whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
May God the Redeemer, Jesus, may God the Creator, Jesus the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of the Spirit lead you and guide you this day and forevermore. Amen.